1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Okay, welcome. Josh Plano will be along in just a few minutes. A lot to talk about with Josh as we are going to explore several different things. College football season sort of opened up this past week. Really no intriguing games, but this week we have some good ones. We're going to get Josh's thoughts on Florida State, Alabama, Michigan, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, West Virginia, and Virginia Tech. So a lot of really terrific, really opening week games, but maybe none much better than Florida State and Alabama. How is that to kick off the week? And also we learned today that Judd Heathcote, Michigan State, former head coach, passed away. We'll talk about that. See if Josh knows if this Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas trade is going to work out. And the Browns are 3-0 in the preseason. Is this their year? Do we need to start looking for Super Bowl memorabilia with the Browns? No, maybe you're not. Nevertheless, we'll talk with Josh all about that. So that interview coming up in just a few moments. Before we do, let's get you caught up with everything. Yesterday, just as we were about to record, just before we recorded, we learned the Murray State women's hoops schedule was released. So you can check that out, goracers.com. Really excited about what we're going to do as far as women's basketball with the first-year head coach, Rochelle Turner, at the helm. So it's going to be a fun year. Most of the games, again, this season will be on WNBS. A few selected games, especially the doubleheaders, those will be on Froggy. And I think the Louisville game also will be on Froggy 103.7. A very light schedule last night as far as our high schools go. High school volleyball, Murray High wins 3 of 5 against St. Mary. They were down 2-1, but won the last two sets, 25-22, 16-14. CCA swept Hickman County, Christian Fellowship 3 of 4 from Graves. Joppa swept Fulton City, Livingston Central 3-1 win over Hopkins Central. Only one Region 1 team played soccer last night. That was St. Mary. They tied Christian County in boys soccer 2-2. And in girls soccer action, Trigg County beating Crittenden County 10-2 and McLean County over Lyon County 2-1. A lot busier tonight on the boys' side, Graves at Callaway County. On the girls' side, Murray's at Marshall. Graves is at Callaway. And volleyball tonight, it is Fulton City at Callaway County. Countdown for kickoff, just 2 days away for Murray State football as the Racers prepare to face Kentucky Wesleyan. According to head coach Mitch Stewart, Racers reasonably healthy heading into week one. Kicker James Sampington continues to deal with the groin injury, but is expected to be ready to go in the opener. Yesterday we talked with Coach Stewart about why they chose Shuler Bentley at quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
You know, the number of turnovers or lack thereof was really and truly what stuck out to us. We could move the football with the offense, and he was going to take care of the football and not get us beat. And I think that's what stuck out the most. It's the reason why we went with that decision right now for week one. But obviously anybody who knows me knows that, especially at that position, it will be open-ended. We're always going to evaluate that position. So it's not like he has arrived by any means. He's still got to go out there and have good days of practice.
DJ Pennett gets the starting nod at running back in week one. Stewart says he feels good about the depth at that position behind Pennett. Besides what has transpired over the past week, he hopes he'll be durable enough in his freshman season.
Even at that position with some things that have happened, I'm still pretty deep at that position. I still feel comfortable at that position. With what we did in recruiting this past year, so hopefully that will help limit some of the banging on him.
You can hear Thursday 6 p.m. game at 5:30 on Froggy 103.7. Louisville coach Bobby Petrino says junior wide receiver and special teams captain Devontae Pete is going to miss the entire season with a torn right ACL. He was the number two receiver behind Seth Dawkins at one of three receiver positions for the 16th-ranked Cardinals, who opened the season against Purdue Saturday in Indianapolis. That game will air on WNBS at 6:30 Saturday. And as you know, the Racers will play Louisville next month, I think the third game of next month in week three in September. Western Kentucky coach Rick Stansberry says freshman center Mitchell Robinson is re-enrolled in classes for the fall semester, but must meet internal requirements for returning to the team after being suspended and released. Monday's surprising development marks the latest twist for the high school All-American, who was suspended July 31st for violating team rules. He was granted his release the next day. Robinson's options were sitting out or transferring per NCAA transfer rules, or playing overseas or going to JUCO, and he decided to come back to WKU. But again, he must meet internal requirements, which we believe means he must be breathing to be reinstated. That's kind of what I think that means. Cardinals off last night. They are back in action tonight. They'll take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Luke Weaver against Matt Garza. We'll have it at 6:15 on WNBS. Down on the farm, Breivik Valera singled in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth. Memphis edged Iowa 4-3 at AutoZone Park. Breivik had a triple and three runs batted in. The Redbirds have won three in a row. Mark Montgomery got credit for the win. Those teams play again tonight. Nashville Sounds lost Omaha 3-2 in 13 innings. Reliever Patrick Schuster tagged with the loss. The teams play Omaha again tonight. Or actually, they host Omaha tonight. And the Louisville Bats split their doubleheader with Indianapolis, dropped the opener 7-1, took the nightcap 4-3. The teams play again tonight. All right, as promised, Josh Planos will be along momentarily. We'll talk with Josh right after this.
You don't stay at baseball for 25 years without rising above the norm. And Cardinals Magazine is celebrating its 25-year anniversary by continuing to do what it does better than anyone else. Simply put, you won't find more variety or more quality insight into the present, past, and future of the Cardinals. Open up a wide world of Cardinals content that's becoming a lost art. Subscribe at cardinals.com/publications or call 314-345-9000.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Josh Planos is my guest. And finally, we're here with college football. A few smattering of games this past weekend, but we'll begin in earnest with most everyone playing a game by the time we wrap up Monday night. Not a lot of top 25 affairs, but there's some good ones. Probably the best one is that Florida State-Alabama game. That is a monster test for both of those teams to get week one going, Josh.
Absolutely. I mean, people are saying that this is going to be the toughest season opener of Nick Saban's career. And, you know, they might not be wrong, because this team really returned a lot of the talent, with the exception of, you know, Dalvin Cook. They bring back Francois under center. They've got a number of receivers back. The question always will be, you know, whether or not this defense can kind of live up to the expectations set by the coaching staff and the nation at large. And really, last season, they failed to do that. So this will be quite the test. For Alabama, you know, it's another opportunity to remind everybody why, you know, you're kind of the kingpin in college football, and, you know, an opportunity to really, you know, give yourself a quality win before, you know, conference season begins, and really set yourself down a track that, you know, I don't know anybody who, if Alabama won this weekend, would say, you know, they're probably not, you know, heading straight for the college football playoff. So a lot of, you know, implications later in the season for this game. And, you know, it's also the first opportunity to get your feet wet. So, you know, it's we couldn't ask for a better showdown in week one.
How damaging would it be? Let's just pretend Alabama loses. Could they get back to the national championship game? Should that happen?
I think so. I think the SEC is a strong enough conference that, you know, you could run the table the rest of the way and hope to get in. You know, for Florida State, I think you know, you'd also be okay. It just kind of depends on how the rest of the season splits. You know, this seems to always be the case. You know, there are some years where it seems like everybody's undefeated, and some years where, you know, maybe, you know, one or two teams are undefeated and everybody else is just kind of vying for the best resume of one-loss teams. So either way, I mean, unless it's a really damaging loss, you know, say a 30-point defeat, a 20-point defeat, just appearing in this game, I think, gives your program a little bit more credence than, say, you know, somebody who's playing, you know, an NAIA school or, yeah, you know, a program that is really just kind of that you're paying to play you.
Sure.
In week one. So it'll be a fun matchup, and hopefully, if nothing else, we get a really exciting game out of it.
Another good one in terms of name schools, Michigan against Florida, although Michigan, it seems like half their team is playing in the NFL or with NFL teams this year. They lost a bunch, so this will be an interesting watch in week one, too.
Yeah, I want to say that they lost the most starters of any Big Ten team between, you know, last season to this year. But again, you know, we really don't know what to expect because Michigan and Florida have been, noticeably not releasing their depth charts. So as anybody's guess who starts under center, my guess would be it's Wilson State. But, you know, Jim McElwain is also, kind of countering with his own, plot of secrecy, and good for them. You know, if they want to get a leg up on the competition, they feel like this is their best avenue, then that's something they're going to try and exploit. And if nothing else, it should make for a really interesting handshake at the end of the game. And, these are some exciting teams. I'm kind of surprised, like you maybe, that Michigan is up at number 11 despite losing all of that talent and all of those players. But, you know, Harbaugh has done such a terrific job of recruiting that it almost seems like, they're slowly creeping up into Alabama territory where you kind of just are able to rinse and repeat and move on with new five stars. So this will be a great opportunity for McElwain to get a marquee win at Florida. He hasn't really had a signature non-conference victory, in my opinion, and this will be quite the test. To start the year.
Further on down the top 25, there are a couple of top 25 matchups, including another SEC team, Tennessee, going up against Georgia Tech. This is supposed to be one of those kind of a big year for the coaching staff there at Tennessee, and this is a big test against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and coming off a huge win in the bowl game over Nebraska, I mean, they really just destroyed them on both sides of the ball. You would hope that they would be picking up some momentum, albeit momentum that's going to be taking a hit with the loss of Barnett, the loss of Dobbs. You know, you've got a number of new pieces, but 25 seems like a pretty reasonable preseason ranking for Tennessee. I know that the case always seems to be that they come in way too high on the leaderboard and then seem to fail to live up to those expectations, but 25 seems just about right, and maybe a sweet spot for them in order to kind of maybe eclipse that ranking by the end of the season. And for Georgia Tech, me and you have talked in the past about how it seems like there's just something in the water down there where they can just knock off one to two ranked opponents,
yeah,
who they have no business beating each and every season. So this would be a heck of a way to start a season. And, if I've learned anything about Georgia Tech football, it's to never be surprised by what happens. So this will be, it's a toss-up for me, and, we'll see what they make of it.
Another game, depending on the poll that you go by, involving top 25 teams, West Virginia against Virginia Tech. This is one that we'll carry on our station. Virginia Tech, coached by Justin Fuente, former Murray State quarterback, was also a coach here for a short time. He replaced a former Murray State coach in Frank Beamer and did pretty well overall last year, but he's going to start to get into kids he's recruited now this season. How do you see this one going?
You know, I really like Virginia Tech. I've always I've been high on them the last 2 years. Last year, they just had a few slip-ups here and there, but overall I thought that they looked terrific. And it was a clear departure from Beamer ball. I mean, even though their special teams were so good, it did feel like it was, finally a new vibe, that was being portrayed on TV. It was they had a different type of swagger. And I know that they've had quite the QB competition throughout fall camp. And there's actually a former Husker on that team, A.J. Bush, who I believe lost that battle. But this is going to be an exciting team. They bring in a lot of talent on the defensive end. They've got a really, a stud wide receiver, and a lot of interesting pieces. So, but for West Virginia, their MO seems to always be super competitive the first, 2 months of the season, and then kind of, regress,
yeah,
toward the later stages. So if this is going to be a West Virginia team of seasons past, I guess we can expect it to be a fight. Both teams, want to start off the season on the right foot, but there's a reason why, it's a home game for Virginia Tech, and, nearly 70% of the pollsters on ESPN are picking them. So I really like Virginia Tech going into this week, and, we'll see what happens.
College basketball saddened by the death of Judd Heathcote, the longtime Michigan State coach, now retired, who passed away this morning. My memory of him, I was a racer fan at the time when 16th-seeded Murray State lost to top-seeded Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. 16-seed versus a 1-seed, went overtime, and I remember Judd Heathcote at the end of it with his tongue hanging out like, wow, we somehow avoided that, I'm not sure. But a very gracious man, a month or two later, sent a penned letter, personalized letter to the head coach at Murray State, Steve Newton, which he had framed, gave to Popeye Jones, talking about Popeye and the tough thing. But everybody that I know has had any contact with Judd Heathcote really admired the man. And the fact that he had the long tenure that he did at Michigan State and was still beloved, that to me tells me a lot about what he was able to bring to college basketball.
I think that's really well put. Everybody who knew him seems to speak incredibly highly of him, always seemed to be giving of his time. I know that there was a series of years in which he would make time for, lunch dates with Gonzaga's head coach, always willing to give back to the next generation of coaches and players, and, the list of people who could speak, highly of him, goes from, Magic Johnson to Tom Izzo to, you name it. This guy seemed to have an incredible ability to touch people across the country and really help grow the sport in ways that is impossible to quantify. And the state of college basketball in the U.S. is forever thankful and grateful for his accomplishments on the court and more importantly what he was willing to give of himself off of it. And a sad day for Michigan State, but also for any college basketball fan at all, because this guy seemed to have an impact, whether or not people in my generation can see it or not.
Stick with the college with basketball, but move to the NBA. Last week, having dinner with friends, and a friend of mine looks at his phone and says, "Oh my gosh, Kyrie Irving has been traded." However, because of Isaiah Thomas' physical, that trade as of yesterday still in limbo. What's the latest on that? What's going to happen, Josh?
Well, they need to, further kind of parse the data they're seeing with regard to Isaiah's hip. They put him through a battery of tests, as they should. And, there's probably going to be some issues there. I mean, they only have one year left of him on contract, which is why if this hip is a no-go and he can't play for a considerable amount of time this season, then this takes on a far different perspective if you're Cleveland. Obviously they want him on the court as soon as possible, and they traded with the intent of having Isaiah Thomas on the court throughout the entirety of this season. But if that's not the case, they're looking for a few sweeteners. If I'm Boston, I think that you just don't allow them to force your hand, because Jay Crowder is probably the unsung hero of the deal, in that, this is a guy who defensively brings you a ton, especially when you're playing a team like the Golden State Warriors, which is going to be probably the Vegas's best odds for next year's NBA Finals matchup. So, you're getting Crowder, you're getting Zizic, you're getting what could be the first overall pick in next year's NBA draft. And that's quite a haul for a player who does not at all want to be with your organization. And it's tough to quantify what that does to a player's trade value when a team knows, this is going to be a nightmare for your locker room. This is going to be a nightmare for your fan base to come out and support someone who has openly, tried to leave. Mm-hmm. And so that drives the trade value significantly down. And right now there seem to be, inklings of Cleveland asking for a first-round pick or a second-round pick. And I'm of the opinion that, Boston has traded enough. And if you get Isaiah Thomas for half a season, then that's what you get. And if you want to let this this trade implode, then that's kind of on you. But we've given what we can, and, it's kind of, the ball's kind of in your court.
One question on the NFL, I know we'll talk a lot more about that down the road, and that is, you know me, you've spoken with me for a couple of years here. I like the Titans and the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are 3-0, and I really want you to tell me this is going to be their year to challenge for a Super Bowl. They will close out next week. I think they play one more game. They take on the Bears. They have a chance to go to 4-0. Is it an exciting time to be a Browns fan, or will reality set in 2 weeks when they open against the Steelers?
You know, I think it is an exciting time. I think reality will also hit when they play Pittsburgh. You know, I really like DeShone Kizer. I know that Brian Kelly kind of did everything he possibly could to ensure that he would come back to Notre Dame, and that included essentially saying that he was not ready to play meaningful snaps in the NFL. And, you know, here we are with him, you know, he's 21, one of the youngest quarterbacks ever to start a season opener. I believe he would be the, you know, tied for the third youngest ever since the merger. So that's, you know, remarkable. But also at the same time, you know, a little scary with regard to, you know, how big the human beings on the other side of the ball are for him. And I just think it's going to be an exciting year. I really like Corey Coleman. I like a lot of the pieces that they've stockpiled. I think no team has been smarter in the NFL draft over the last, you know, maybe 2 years. And you know, they seem to be hoarding picks. So moving forward, I think Cleveland's really put themselves in a situation where they want to contend. I still feel like they're not going to contend this year, and maybe not next year, but perhaps the year after that, which I know is such a hollow, you know, back out of the question. But it just seems like it's a little too soon and too fast. But Cleveland's moving in the right direction, and that's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that you used smarter and Browns in the same sentence. I haven't heard that as far as draft goes, because they were about as dumb as a box of rocks there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, just bad draft picks.
Yeah, this time around, I think they did okay.
All right. Josh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk about some of the results on next week's show, and look forward to that, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is Josh Plato. Said Marlo will join me on tomorrow's show.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.